The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride, and we kill those people.
Here we go. Modified show. Aaron's sleeping in today.
Just Jake and Ira.
We just texted Aaron and is like, hey, where are you? And we just got back and oh shit. So Aaron won't be joining us today. So we'll do, we'll do a little more back and forth, and maybe you guys will feel like this is a little more, I don't know, intimate than three of us yelling at each other, but I guess we'll wait and find out. We were kind of struggling. Well, I don't know, struggling, but we were kicking around an idea. We have a long-running group text between all of us that I don't even know how long it's been there, but we kick some ideas around for the show, and we post them on a little page that we have, and we were going down the road of one topic, and I don't feel like I've had enough time to really research and get into it, and I want to be able to present it a little better, so Ira and I were talking while we were waiting for Aaron, and he said, you know, why don't we talk about this really non-popular topic yeah. that nobody's talking about right now, and let's tackle gun control. So
not polarizing or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Non-polarizing topic.
Yeah.
And you know, of all the people to go back and forth, and we may agree and may not. This will be interesting territory, but Ira decided we should talk about guns, and I said, well, I've got one in my backpack about 5 feet away from where we're sitting, so let's go. But yeah, so here we are. I'll let you kick it off, sir.
Yeah, so it's obviously a hot-button topic. Everyone's talking about it, and it's basically this stems from school shootings.
Yeah.
The one that happened recently. It seems like every time that it happens, we... you know, a lot of people start, you know, it. Every time that it happens, everyone starts losing their minds on social media and whatnot. And everyone starts having that conversation again. And
the same conversation.
The same exact.
The same tired conversation.
Good point. Yeah. And
yeah, let's not try and do that here. I don't think we will, but.
No, we won't. What I always think about when I see, especially this time around, I sat back mostly and just watched all the shit happen.
Yeah.
And it's sort of entertaining because you see the same things talked about. But what bothers me is that no one seems to be talking about any of the real problems. I mean, some people bring it up, but really it's all just A, take the guns away from the one side. And then you've got B, don't take the guns away. And it seems like this is the only thing that we can talk about is what the right thing to do is either take the guns away or don't take the guns away or some variation of that, something to do with guns in general.
Or so then the or C, I would say, is that, well, Congress doesn't want to do anything, so we can just blame Congress for everything.
Right, yeah.
And then in Congress, I guess the part one and two to see is how polarizing the topic is, and it's all... In my opinion, it all goes back to money. It really does. But that's me. But what I think is happening is when you get into Congress, it's easy to blame them because it's so polarizing in Congress that it's either the left is coming to take your guns away, or the left will say that the right wants you to have tanks and rocket launchers, and so we can't have a conversation. And I think that's why it's easy for people to lay the blame at the government instead of trying to solve this themselves.
Right. I talked to somebody on Facebook the other day, and it was, the idea was that it's going to be okay. We need to take these guns away because kids are dying, damn it. And it's a very emotionally charged thing.
It is.
And I tried to say, just can we...
And that's a stupid argument, I will say.
Well, yeah. That's all it really came down to is it was just what about the kids, and everything about it was hyper emotional, and there wasn't actually any, you know, the idea is these stupid NRA people want their guns in order to fight a tyrannical government. If that ever happens.
Yes.
And that is stupid because the government has this huge military with nukes and jets and all this stuff.
The government has more guns than you will ever have.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's funny. And that's the first thing that you ever hear from anybody. That's a very common argument.
Yeah. Well, and what happens when the blah, 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 and I got to rise up and take over?
They just go, you're not going to. Right, right. I did see an interesting, you know, argument the other day, and it was that we had all that stuff in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And those poor freaking rice farmers gave us a run for our money like we never saw coming.
Yeah. Well, they knew the territory.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
it was their fight.
Right. We had nukes then too.
Granted, I'm not Oliver North. I don't have the whole war story memorized.
Sure, but
the
bottom line is, shouldn't we have absolutely decimated that army? According to this logic that we're talking about, we have all of this stuff and they don't yet.
Well, we could have if we would have dropped the nuke from the beginning. I mean,
and why didn't
we? You go right, well, because I think, I'm obviously totally speculating, but I think Hiroshima and Nagasaki was, what, 30 years prior to that, 25 years prior to that in some,
right,
depending on what part of Vietnam. And I think it was way too fresh, first of all, to go there again. And why start at 100? I mean, you got to escalate. So I think if we would have just gone to, all right, dropping a nuke, here you go. But to no pun intended, to shoot a hole in your theory, we could have done that if we wanted to.
Right.
If we wanted to, quote unquote, win, which is a whole other discussion, we could have just dropped another fat man and little boy and just blown Vietnam to hell, and it would have been over.
Right. And
because we had the biggest guns.
Sure, and we're never going to want to do that.
No, of course
in
not.
In the United States, they're not going to want to do that to Texas.
Of course
that's
not.
Probably not.
I might want to do that to Texas.
Yeah, some people, but that's, you know, the other thing is like, you know, okay, you have to consider what the Afghans did to the Soviet Union. It was the same type of deal.
Okay.
The Afghans, they were funded by us.
Yeah.
But still, really the only thing that they had going for them was a couple of cheap missiles, you know, not a couple, but a handful, that they would shoot at these, you know, $20 million helicopters every time they saw one. And these missiles cost about 50 grand.
Yeah.
And every time one of those missiles shot down one of those helicopters, think about that disparity that just happened.
Yeah.
You know, how much money is the Soviet Union spending and how much money are the Afghans spending?
Mm-hmm.
And that is how you destroy the giant, is you get them to use all of their weapons.
Well, that's like the proverbial rock and the slingshot right there.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So I think.
So back to the government's going to, you're going to have to rise up and overthrow the government. So stockpile your guns.
I think that stockpiling your guns for the fear of there's another argument here too. Is that somebody said, how dare somebody think, like they were horrified at the idea that somebody would want to go to war against our federal government.
Okay.
And that's another issue that, like, why, for me, I'm like, why is that so horrifying? I don't understand.
Well, I have an answer, but go ahead.
I guess I can think about right now and the given, like, I'm not talking about tomorrow going to the, but
yeah,
is it that no government has ever, you know, become evil and tyrannical and done horrible. Well, so why is that? Don't people look back in history and go, oh yeah, maybe that is kind of important to be able to like stand up to your government?
Yeah. I don't know. I think at least here, you know, and I don't want to sound, I don't know. I don't care what I sound like. I think here we have it so good that the thought of actually taking to the streets and having to go fight against the system, whatever you want to call it, is so foreign to us because we've had it so good for so long.
Right.
In the when the Civil War popped off, people were, I mean, that was a time when you used to have to fight to stay alive. You know, people were dying from, you know, childbirth infant mortality rates were sky high, and they didn't have, you know, antibiotics and all these penicillin, all these kind of things. Same thing, I guess. But life itself seemed so much more fragile that, hey, if I got to go fight, I got to go fight. So, and we were just coming off the revolution, not even 100 years before that. So when the Civil War happened, it was like fighting the government, essentially. I'm just trying to relate to the last time that we would have fought the government. It didn't seem so far-fetched then. I think now with heated seats in your car and you know, all of the, I could go on, but all of the amenities of life, whatever, and especially in this country, I think until all of that was really taken away or severely threatened, I don't think you'd get, not that I'm saying to overthrow the government if you don't have heated seats, but I'm saying if you have it so good where almost literally anything you want is at your disposal, which it really is, anything you want is at your disposal, then you're not going to fight.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. Yeah, I completely agree.
That's my argument. So I think that's why people think, well, why would we ever need to overthrow the... I think it seems like such a foreign thought.
Yeah, they can't imagine a world in which there are bread lines. And
yeah, they get pissed when the Starbucks line is more than four cars.
Oh, sure.
You know, so a bread line is like, well, that would never happen here.
I think that it makes sense to look back in history and see just how fast things like that can happen.
Exactly.
You know, and then you, I don't think anybody, any gun owner is sitting there saying, you know, that this could happen tomorrow. I think that it does happen fast, but they're saying, no, yeah. I'm talking about shit gets so bad that you have foot soldiers coming to your door, you know, and knocking on it, just like what happened in Soviet Russia. And they're saying, hey, your neighbor tattled on you.
Ratting you out, yeah.
And you need to come with us.
Well,
that's the thing, is that
they were getting
in
there
history,
in California with the drought a couple of years ago, where you're supposed to tattle on your neighbor.
Right? it's weird. But see, the Soviet Union back then had a pretty strong army, and they could have used it on their citizens, but that's never how it happens. It happens with the police.
Yeah.
It happens on a one-on-one basis.
On like a municipal.
On a municipal level, right. Yeah. Slowly but surely, people just get arrested. It's not like there's this all-in-all, you know, just kind of battle.
Yeah.
And they were, people then were easy to arrest because they did not have a way to protect themselves. They didn't have a way to band together. And they didn't band together. In Solzhenitsyn's book, The Gulag Archipelago, that's a very big reoccurring point that he makes in that book. He continues to ask the question throughout the book, what if this one person would have stood up? Like I've seen these videos before where like some cop somewhere, most of the time it's in another country, but he'll be abusing some citizen. He'll be being a little too rough with him or something. And one dude comes out of nowhere and tackles the freaking cop and puts him on his ass.
Yeah.
And then a couple other people jump in and then they grab the guy and he runs off and then they all, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, he asked that, what if that had happened? Just a couple times, just everyone, there's one or two cops and there's 20 of us. You know, that's the thing. And it's easier to do that if you have weapons, if you have guns, because that's all they have. They're not pointing a missile at your house. They can blow up my house with a freaking $1 million missile. That's fine. But there's a lot of houses just like mine out there.
Okay, well let's reverse a little bit or back up. What is your overall all take on guns? And I'll say that with an asterisk is, you know, I'm not on Facebook anymore. We were talking about that before we started the show, and I'll say I don't miss it one bit, but I'm not on Facebook anymore for a whole bunch of reasons, but mainly not really being in control of the content and not being in control of what you're seeing and being interacting in. And then also because I think it's people at their worst, honestly. I think Facebook is people at their worst.
Yeah.
And that's another, we could do a whole show on Facebook and social media, and maybe we should, but I'm not in that conversation. I haven't been for, God, almost a year. So this is the most recent large school shooting where, and I wasn't on Facebook for the Vegas thing either, but this is the most recent large school shooting where I'm not on there to see everybody posting all their drivel. I'm just not on there.
Sure.
And so I feel like I'm a little more removed to be able to think a little more objectively. But then again, that one incident doesn't really change my mind. So what I'm getting at is I am on Twitter. I only follow a few people, a lot of it's news outlets and things, but not a lot of opinion. There's not a lot of people posting from their couch that I'm reading.
Sure.
Some comedians and things like that.
Right.
But I do follow some veterans. I run a Twitter page for Jocko. And so I follow a lot of veterans on one of those pages. And, you know, I strongly agree with this. What I'm about to say, it was said much more eloquently than I will say it, or I would have said it, but I totally agree with this point. And it was the AR-15 conversation. And it's like, well, if we get rid of all the AR-15s, then that's a start. And the quote was, I believe, from Andy Stump, who's a Navy SEAL and Iraq veteran. And his whole point was, you know, if you remove a drop of water from the ocean, it does nothing to change the tide. And I completely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts real quick on AR-15s are, number one, you don't hunt with them. Number two, you don't really do target practice with them. They're cool as shit. They're fucking awesome. They're cool guns.
Right.
They're great. When I was in my short time in the Marine Corps, I got to have an M16, and it's the same, you know, same thing. And they're fucking awesome. They're cool guns. If you want to shoot some shit, they're cool guns. So I would love for people that want to have AR-15s to just say, you know what, it's my right to have them, and they're fucking cool, and I want one.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to make an argument. I think when you're talking about, well, should they be automatic or not automatic or semi-automatic, or I think you're splitting hairs in an area that is such a, again, it's such a drop in the bucket. That's not the conversation. The conversation isn't whether I can shoot, you know, 30 people in the same time I can shoot 15. And I'm not trying to take away value from individual human lives, but the extra 15 people I can kill with the fully automatic versus the 15 I can kill on a 3-round burst or on a semi-automatic isn't the conversation to me.
No.
That's not what the conversation is. And the conversation isn't necessarily should we be allowed to have guns or not have guns, because you're not going to get rid of the guns. You never will. This right. country has a weird, like, porno-like relationship with guns that has been there from the beginning. And kind of the flip side of that is it's kind of who we are.
Sure.
When we rebelled against England and we've dug ourselves in and fought, like, that same spirit is what we want to keep alive.
Oh, yeah.
And that is so melded with the gun conversation that it's a different conversation, but it's the same conversation all at once.
Sure, sure. So yeah, I think that there's this need to get rid of the guns as if that's the problem. And
exactly.
And it's really not. All of these people who commit these mass murders, all we need to do is ask why are they doing that, and really dive in. What are these people like? What's going on in their brains?
I don't even.
What's going on in their lives? What happened to them when they were children?
Yes.
What's their life experience?
Yes.
You know, and it seems to me, from what
well, they're all at, guys. First of all, there's a place to start.
Sure, sure. There's something obviously that is that makes men susceptible to such things. They also seem to be very.
But I thought we were all
socially
equal in
awkward.
Our gender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly not. There's definitely. If you think that having more testosterone is not going to impact anything, then you're out of the. I mean, you're not thinking clearly.
Yep.
That one thing. Not to mention all the other weird.
Well,
differences between XX and XY, it's that's a huge one. But these people have a lot in common.
Yeah.
The way that I explained it the other day, from what I understand, I'm not going to try to sound like a know-it-all here, but this is a perfect storm situation.
I'm with you.
The kind of person who will shoot up a school is a tiny, tiny minority.
Yeah.
Right? And these people all seem to, there seem to be like these 20 phenomena that sort of have to happen to this baby.
Or even less. You know,
fetus, baby, child, adolescent. They have to, they seem to have all of these different things to have happen to them. And then boom, it creates this monster. It starts off with a genetic, you know, not presupposition. That's the wrong word. But you have to have a couple of different genetic markers that then have to be activated by your environment, usually a shitty environment.
Yeah.
One in which you are shamed from an early age.
Or feel shamed. You might not actually, I mean, some of this
shame,
too, is like,
I think shame comes from all kinds of different places, and most people are actually shamed. Well, yeah, I guess I was hearing
that if you, I'm sorry, I was probably making some assumptions. What I was hearing is bullied.
No, okay. No, I'm talking more about the person's caregivers, his parents,
okay,
the people that are in charge of him.
Gotcha.
Shame. You can.
I'm with you then.
From,
still,
yeah. From from what I know, you can withstand shame from your peers as long as you have a very deep, strong connection with your parents. If you have a very good bond, very good attachment, then your peers don't necessarily matter. They do a little bit, but not nearly as much as they would otherwise. It's when that relationship with your parents is either non-existent or extremely toxic that you then turn to your peers. And then if you're socially awkward and you all of a sudden now your peers are making fun of you too and you're getting shame from your peers.
Yeah.
Now that's another check in the, you know,
okay.
You got to check that box too.
So keep going. I'm with you.
You know, so then you've got all of this stuff that happens. And then pretty soon the school is saying, this kid has problems. We should probably medicate him, right?
Well, I will say, didn't this kid, and I don't know all the details, but didn't this kid from Florida recently have a kind of a rap sheet of, or not a rap sheet, but of signs of people saying, hey, you know, I'm tripping on my tongue, but people reporting him for...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was gonna say, there were plenty of warnings.
Absolutely. Okay. These people who work in these social, you know, in schools and social services are pretty sharp, and they know what to look out for.
Yeah.
And the problem is when they see it, they really have no recourse. I mean, what do you do, really? Especially as a libertarian or an anarchist, you know, like I am. What do you say? Like... Well, when you see all of these signs, there's these 10 items that you check on a list and that kid has them all, what do? You just grab him and go throw him in a cage?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's a danger to society, even though he hasn't committed any crimes yet? Or,
well, like they just caught a kid a couple days ago in, I think, Tacoma that was a day or two away from committing a shooting and his grandma turned him in. She found some sort of journal or something where he was writing and he had a detailed plan.
His grandma.
And his grandma turned him in, which, hey, you know, kudos to you.
Sure,
awesome.
Sure.
And I'm curious now to follow this and see where it goes because he didn't commit a crime.
Right.
I mean, maybe he did maybe he had some guns he wasn't supposed to have, but he didn't actually carry out a shooting. So now I want to see how this plays out as what kind of punishment are they going to come up with or what kind of... path is this story going to take, because the kid didn't shoot anybody. And I'm not saying that nothing should happen. I think we need to be very careful in how we proceed here.
Well, yeah, wouldn't you think that kid needs massive interventions?
Yes, of course. Therapy. I'm just talking like Minority Report. Are you going to lock him up because he was going to do something?
Right.
And he didn't?
It's tempting.
It's really tempting. But then that's a crazy slippery slope.
It is. It's the biggest slippery slope in all of crime.
Criminal, yeah.
You know.
Well, go ahead. I stopped you.
My only point is that all of these guys have everything in common. And we have to look at how these quote unquote monsters are actually created. And we have to discuss, like, do we want to do the easy thing and get rid of guns or make them harder to get or whatever? Or do we actually want to do the hard thing and figure out who these kids are and help them?
And hold parents accountable for being shitty parents.
Why did the grandma... Why did the grandma turn in this kid? My point is, where's mom?
Yeah.
Where's dad?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a mom and dad? Probably not. I can tell you one thing. As far as I've heard, I'm not quite sure on this. There's been a lot of school shootings over the years, but all of the ones we know about.
He was obsessed with Columbine too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, all that we know about all of these school shooters are that they are, I'm pretty sure it's 100% of them didn't have their father in the house living with them.
Okay.
At least
I don't know that to be true, but I will go along with you.
Somebody look into that, would you?
No, I'll go along with you.
I heard that it was 100%, which
even if it's 80 or 90 though,
that's still a lot.
That would be something to pay attention to in social sciences.
Yeah, you would have to look at that.
That's something to pay attention to.
And so, what is creating these people to not have that person in your life, to not have these parents or to not have good ones, creates a really scary situation.
So how do you combat that? And you don't have to answer that right now, but my argument was, here's the thing. There's no quick, again, pardon the pun, there's no silver bullet for this conversation. There's no way to go, okay, well, here's the answer.
Yeah.
But I'm sympathetic to, and I don't know her name, the girl that's been on the news so much lately with the shaved head, talking about the stuff in Florida. And she gave a big tearful speech about, you know, what are we going to do? Finally do something about this. And all these young kids that are seniors in high school are talking about the gun control debate. And I'm sympathetic to the emotion that is behind that. And there's a bit of, we haven't done anything, so let's start somewhere and let's do this. No disrespect to those emotions and no disrespect to anybody that's lost anybody in a shooting like that. But I don't think that the guns or the access to guns are the problem. I think it's quite a slippery slope when a 16-year-old can go get a driver's license, and if they decide one day that they have the same feelings that they have when they want to shoot a school, that all they got to do is take a left instead of a right and hit the gas instead of the brake and plow through a farmer's market and do just as much damage.
Exactly.
That's not a gun.
Yeah, that's my point too, is that this stuff can happen.
There's so many things about, and yes, okay, maybe a car is equal to an automatic weapon. I was going to say, you could go stab people if you want. You're not going to kill as many people with a knife as quick as you would with a fully automatic AR-15. I get that, but we're still talking about the motive and the reason for doing this versus the actual act. And what I'll say before I kick it back to you is, I look at this globally, both literally and metaphorically, in the way of there are 7.5 billion people. We're somewhere between 7 and 8 billion people on this planet. I'm kind of surprised this stuff doesn't happen more, to be honest with you, and follow me here for a second, but with as much as we have advanced as a species in the last 100 years, with as much technological advance has happened, social advance, workplace advance, economic, blah, 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 all of these things that have literally revolutionized the way, again, heated seats, let's bring it full circle.
Yep.
All of these things that have revolutionized the way that we live have happened so fast that our evolving monkey brain is trying to make sense of all this stuff. You know, a screen in front of you all these hours a day and all these, we don't know yet what all of these things lead to for our general overall mental well-being. And what I'm saying is, I'm not blaming screen time on school shootings or school shootings on screen time, but what I'm saying is, with all of this stuff, all of these stressors and all of these things that are happening in our lives, and with that many people on the planet, I'm really, with as fragile as it is, between a thin line between madness and insanity, I'm surprised this stuff doesn't happen more. And I don't think that means that we just accept it, but I think that means we need to be honest and go, you know, these things are going to happen. There's going to be these people. When you have 7.5 billion people, and all the different myriad ways that brain wiring can be and all the different variations of genetics and all these things, this is going to happen.
Sure.
And it's not a matter of us being cavalier about it and not caring, but it's a matter of just being able to prepare ourselves for it, do everything we can to combat it. But when it happens, we have to kind of accept it, reluctantly accept it. And when I say do everything we can to combat it, I think that's, for me, where the conversation is. And I'll pose this and I'll kick it back to you. But the whole thing about teachers having guns in schools, absolutely not. I don't think that's the answer. However, I think somebody in guns should have schools, or somebody in schools should have guns.
Yeah.
Remember after 9/11, for the first few years, when there were secret air marshals.
Oh yeah.
And you get on a plane and you'd be like, "Well, fuck, who is it? Who's the guy?" Nobody knows who the guy is, or whoever. I think a really great way to take care of our veterans that will be coming back from the war, veterans that have that trying to find a purpose or trying to find another mission. Obviously, we would want to screen for some PTSD and some trauma issues, but
sure.
I think we should take veterans and arm veterans and put veterans in the schools. Yeah. And I think that would be a step toward doing what we can to combat these situations. I think that would highly deter, again, not knowing who the air marshal is. Granted, I'm not a terrorist, but even getting on a plane back then, I was like, "Well, fuck, I better keep my shit straight because I don't know, you know, I don't want to fuck up."
Yeah.
I think any kid who's thinking about doing that, and again, maybe someone just gets pushed to that point and shamed, like all these things you're saying, and there's nothing you can do to deter them because that's what they want to do. I don't know that part. But I think the answer to keeping schools generally safer, or the answer to keeping somebody from killing 15 or 30 people, is maybe an armed veteran or two.
sure.
At a school.
Yeah,
and I'll leave it at that. So
yeah,
back to you, Ira.
Right on. Yeah, I was thinking that same thing. Is that, yeah, you really don't want a bunch of, you know, these just random school teachers to have guns either. But also, I think that people want to do something.
School teachers, no.
The problem with right, exactly. The problem with government is that it makes people believe when they vote and somebody changes some law, it makes people actually think that they've done something. And I really hate that, because it sort of makes us lazy and complacent, and it makes us say, "Well, I don't want to actually go out and, oh God forbid, volunteer at my Boys and Girls Club."
Yeah.
Go.
Well, coach. I voted, so that should do something.
Yeah, you voted. It's sort of like George Carlin said, "I didn't. I stayed home and jacked off, and I've got a little bit more to show for it." Because what he means by that is that, you know, I think there's more, you know, value and virtue in getting out there and doing something yourself, taking your own time and investing it in somebody.
I agree.
In a kid. These kids are created. They're not born. You can have a legitimate psychopath.
Well, somebody, I was going to say, some of them might be born.
You can give somebody I don't think that after all that I've read and studied over the years about this kind of thing, it's been quite a bit. I don't think that this is, you can say that it's genetic at all. I think that a person can be a legitimate psychopath. I think that you can PET scan their head and you can say, this guy has the brain of a murderer.
Okay.
Of a serial killer. Look at his, you could put it right next to Jeffrey Dahmer or whoever, and they would look identical.
All
right.
I'm with you.
Okay. But this guy would be a neurosurgeon.
So you think,
and so you think, well, what? How come he's not? Why is he not killing people? Well, strangely enough, Jeffrey Dahmer. Well, actually, Jeffrey Dahmer had a very. No one really knows what happened in his childhood, but a lot of psychopathic killers, had really weird things happen to them when they were kids. They had strange upbringings, okay. Abusive upbringings. So it just so happens that you can be a psychopath and you can have awesome parents and you end up being a good person, you know.
Okay.
I
haven't studied that enough to know. I would feel like, my gut would feel like, if you're born with a very specific set of wiring, that you're almost on a path.
You would think that, and that can be overcome. What the, if you ask any neuroscientist,
I would say that I could see how that could be overcome. My first thought is, well, I don't know. I think you're, but okay, I'll
you
bite.
You have to consider the environment, right? They do studies on rats all the time where they'll put a rat in a tiny cage with nothing in it.
Despite all my rage,
that's
I'm still
right. in a rat in a cage. Yeah. So they will do that. They'll put these rats in these cages and they will give them water with sugar in it, or they'll give them water with cocaine or some kind of drug.
Good day to be a rat.
Yeah, the rat in the tiny little cage
will
drink the cocaine water.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but what's interesting is they put a rat in a huge enclosure with all kinds of cool stuff that rats like and a bunch of cool rat friends, right?
There's a phrase I haven't heard.
Cool rat friends. And so they give them the same exact thing, sugar water, cocaine. Hardly any of the rats, none of the rats prefer the cocaine. Some might try it, but they have no need for it whatsoever. None of them get addicted to
it. Because of all the other interactions?
Because of their environment, yeah. They've got a rich, stimulating, fun environment.
I would like to see that done with monkeys before I believe it, because I think we're closer to monkeys
well,
than
sure,
rats.
Sure. Yeah, but they have done a lot of studies with
no,
monkeys.
No, I'd like to look more
but
into
the
that.
The bottom
then.
Line is
That's
look
interesting.
At, yeah, I just finished reading a book called In the Realm of the Hungry Ghosts. It's about a doctor who worked in basically Vancouver, BC's Skid Row.
Okay.
And he at a methadone clinic.
Okay, I see where this is headed.
Yeah, every single one of his patients went through some of the most horrific things you could possibly imagine. I'm saying things that are so bad that it's a very hard book to actually read.
Like in their childhood kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Child abuse on other levels.
Okay.
That you can't, it's horrible.
Like, and those kids in California that were, the parents just got busted a couple months ago for having them all locked up and doing all that crazy shit with them.
Sure. I actually didn't hear about that, but yeah, similar.
Okay.
Just rape. Rape is the sort of baseline. We're talking about, oh my God, right?
Like, you'd almost have to work to fuck kids up that bad.
Yes.
Okay, I'm with
you. You really have to be sadistic. So then all of these people end up hooked on injected drugs.
Okay.
And I don't know why that's such a, like, wouldn't you think most people would say, dude, that totally makes sense, right? But that's not.
To do drugs because of that stuff?
Yes.
I think it does. I think
it makes sense to, and they tell him, and he documents it very well in the book. All of his patients will talk to him and they'll say, dude, I want to escape.
Yeah.
I'll do anything.
Yeah.
I will do anything to just leave this world for a couple minutes. And so.
That's why I understand that. I would easily make that connection that those people could go from trauma like that to
sure, but
to
most
drugs.
most people we get complacent, you know, in our everyday lives, and we don't really think about it because it's not right in our face, and we don't know. All we do is we see these people, and they're annoying, and they're in our way, and they're dirty, and they're hard to look at, and they're always asking us for money.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
these are homeless people.
I got you.
And so we just say, dude, just get a job, right? Or why did you choose to do drugs?
I think ignorant people would say that. I think anybody that has half a brain knows there's more to it than, oh, I just can't get a job.
Yeah, but people still, most people that you talk to say, God, why, you know, yeah, some messed up stuff happened. Even if there are some people who maybe they didn't have that, the ultimate, just really messed up stuff happen to them, but they still, the idea is that they're choosing to do something, you know. Anyway, we can go in that direction.
So about
direction,
the book, though,
my point is that these people are created. Not one of them is just born and destined to go down this path no matter what. they are in their situation specifically because they were horrifically abused. And what I'm saying about school shooters is that maybe that's the same phenomenon happening, that these people are created by very, very unfit environments from the time they're little children.
Well, okay, so let's run with that for a second. If that is the case, if you could do a PET scan on all the brains when they're born and you could do intervention early enough to find the ones that are psychopaths or whatever, or have the tendencies to go down that road should their environments be less than savory, let's say.
Yeah. I just think that we shouldn't let it get that far, right?
Well, of course, but what I'm saying is, if that's the case, I'll give you that much. If you can determine ahead of time that this
kid is at risk.
Okay. and has the possibility to go down this path. So we need to do all these things to make sure this doesn't happen. The ones you can't save, say there are just the ones that no matter what you do, you know, I'll give you the first part.
Sure.
Say out of 100 of them, there's three that there's nothing you can do. They're just going to be nuts. They're just going to go down that road.
Right.
That still is not a gun argument. That still is not a...
Exactly.
Well, we need to ban bump stocks, or we need to change the size of magazines, or, you know, we need to keep automatic versus semi-automatic or whatever off the street. That part of the conversation is so immaterial to me.
Yep.
When the bigger issue is the person. And I don't like distilling it down so far as, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people. That's true, but it's such a throwaway bumper sticker at this point.
Yeah.
That it's become such a careless argument on one side. But I'll give you that much and say that, you know, if there are those 3 out of 100 that are just determined to be down that path or determined to do harm or whatever you want to call it to themselves or others, that falls back to my argument of there's fucking somewhere between 7 and 8 billion people on the planet. Some are going to be bad. Some are going to do these things.
Yeah.
And that is the overall argument, and trying to be prepared and be smart about how we protect our kids in schools and our public places and our quote unquote soft targets, you know, whatever you want to call it, protect against those 3 people out of 100 or whatever that number is that can't be saved. And these tragedies go way down. And
people are emotional and they want to do something that makes them feel like they've actually done something. And that's they're not actually doing anything.
It's like a tug of war game.
It's just an emotional thing is all it is. Huge emotional thing because of how this all looks and feels. This is not utilitarian. We're not doing all this stuff because we think it'll actually help. Seriously. Because if you actually cared about gun violence, then you would care about the thousands and thousands of young black males between the ages of like 15 and 25 or whatever it is. I don't know the exact age range, that are absolutely slaughtering themselves en masse in some of these urban environments.
Well, of course.
You know, every single day there are multiple quote-unquote school shootings worth of people dying.
Well, there's way more of that than school shooting numbers.
So that's my problem. That's just picking gun violence.
Choosing. It's absolutely picking and choosing.
If you really think about it, if you really want to be divisive like sometimes I am, I'll just say, are you just dumb? Like you can't actually see this for what it is? Or are you just incredibly racist? Because a freaking suburban school full of little white kids get shot up and everyone's up in arms.
Yeah.
But a bunch of black kids dying in the city, you don't lose sleep over not a wink. You don't even think about it.
No.
Well, that's someone else's problem. I don't even know.
Well, it's not in their environment. It's not in
most people's
environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's another thing. Not even gun violence. Do you actually care about kids dying? Do you actually care about people dying? Okay, we can go from the very small part way down here and we can go outwards. Do you care about kids dying? Okay. How many kids die from gunshot wounds every year? Okay. We can look at the stats. I can guarantee you it's a tiny percentage compared to the number of kids who die in auto accidents.
I was just going to say, what about car accidents and drunk driving? You know,
yeah.
Alcohol still legal.
I saw a genius meme the other day.
No one's trying to ban handles of Jim Beam.
Right. On Facebook, I saw a genius meme the other day, and it showed an Amish guy, and he says, your right to drive a car does not trump my right to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, because we're talking, if you really care about people dying, then why in the fuck are you driving a car?
And people will dismiss that and go, well, how am I supposed to get to work? How am I supposed to do these things?
Exactly. We got to get to work. No, you can churn butter and you can raise a barn just like the fucking Amish. Don't give me that bullshit.
Yeah, you can live.
You can live just fine.
And have your needs met.
That's living. Dude, I can.
You might have to change your name to Jebediah, but you can live.
Exactly. You can live just fine. You can figure out a way. So that's the whole thing. It's like the idea that, you know, my kids and they'll shake their, and they'll get so mad and emotional and they say, my kids are a danger. And it's like, dude, you just drove here with your kids in the car.
Yeah.
Seriously. All of us, I told this to my friend the other day. I said, I'm the most likely way that I'm going to die is in my freaking van.
The most likely work van, way you're because gonna die is your wife is gonna kill you.
That's true. The second most is that I'll die in my van. Because I drive that thing like 50,000 miles a year. It's
all
insane.
The time.
I'm always on the road. I'm always going over the pass and the ice and the snow and all that crap. I'm gonna die that way. Okay? And everyone's worried about guns. Here's the thing. We're okay with dying in a traffic accident because the car or the environment that we're in
is viewed as a necessity.
Well, yes. Not only that, it's not, the car is not a it's not a person. Even if you run into another car, it's called a traffic accident. It's not somebody who's out there who's purposefully running into people.
Yeah.
The fact that somebody got a gun and shot somebody. Okay. Scary points. You know, you add those scary points.
Yeah.
And then you say they shot up a school, even scarier. Then you say they shot up, you know, a junior high school. Oh my gosh. Now you say, dude, they shot up an elementary school, even scarier. So there's sort of this spectrum.
There's levels to this
there's
shit.
There's totally levels to this shit. So people are okay with losing their lives a certain way. But the moment that there's another human being who is acting in a malicious manner, then all of a sudden you introduce this emotionality to it. Now it's like, holy shit, now there's this fear.
Yeah.
Like everyone, like you're looking around like, I don't trust that guy. Well, and that's something that deep in our brains that we don't realize that we're doing, I don't think.
It goes back to one of the things we talked about last week and about morality too, and it's a culmination of all of these things, but the need to punish, the need to feel, to see somebody punished, that comes into play when it becomes an emotional situation.
Sure.
And one of the things we haven't talked about yet that's on our list is innocence. So I think the levels, the more quote unquote innocent the life is that's taken, the more you need to see punished. Like, okay, for example, the gymnastics coach that was just busted, that got put away for like 20 lifetimes because he was abusing all those little girls, because they were broad strokes here, folks, but because they were all underage kids, people look at him as way worse than Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
Harvey Weinstein was abusing adults.
Right.
And they were, for lack of a better situation, not consenting, kind of. I mean, he pulled his dick out and jerked off in a ficus. No one consented to that. But I'm saying hey, if you want to part in my movie, you got to do this stuff. And that's obviously totally wrong. Hey, I'm your coach and I need to do a medical exam on you and you're innocent.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, I'm getting the long way to get to your point, but I'm agreeing with you that I think there's a algorithm, or there's some sort of formula here where the more quote unquote innocent the victim is, and the more malicious the perpetrator is, the more we see the need to punish. And I think that's a huge part of it that goes back to your automobile equation.
Oh yeah, the human element there. But when as soon as there's a human element, it's like, oh, we have to do something. It just gets so much more emotional, you know. And it, you just never know. Like, why don't we actually really try to do something? You know that.
Well, making decisions out of emotion never goes well.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't go well.
And it's
or at least
clear.
Making laws out of emotion doesn't.
And
go
it's
well.
So clear that that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, because
otherwise,
so many areas. Car,
we just would not drive cars. We just wouldn't. Yeah. It's not an. It's a completely ridiculous, dangerous way to get around.
We need to travel in tubes, like Tenacious D said.
Yeah.
Get working on that tube technology.
Exactly. At the very least, trains and stuff like that. Why the hell do we drive cars? It's crazy.
Well, fuck, man. I wouldn't get on a train lately either.
That's true.
So many derailings lately.
Even that.
But that's kind of my point is there's so many people on the planet and we're all literally constantly in motion. This shit is going to happen. Yes, the guy here in Washington shouldn't have been taking an 35 mile an hour corner at 80. Of course. So we can put things in place to control that. But the sheer risk of a fucking how many dozens of tons of steel flying down a track, that there's no way to completely get yourself devoid of risk in those situations. And I'll pose this to you about the gun thing. And I have an opinion, so I want to hear yours. But maybe I can fake a counter position for the sake of a conversation.
Okay.
How do you feel about places like Britain and Australia when they say, well, look, they took away all the guns, and now all the gun deaths have gone down.
Well, the way I understand it, the gun deaths might have gone down, but the murders haven't gone down, maybe a little bit. But the only argument I've ever heard from Australia is that...
Now they're just throwing poison spiders at each other.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they took the guns away, and then there hasn't been a mass shooting. But there's still plenty of gun violence.
I don't know that
as far as
detail.
I know.
I just hear the argument all the time of like, well, look what they did in Britain, and now there's no
shooting.
That's
the thing is that
Jim
people
Jeffries.
Just don't want to get shot by a gun.
Well, I don't
like
either.
Well, right. But how bad do you want to get stabbed with a goddamn kitchen knife? Because that's happening. I'm pretty sure. I can probably look it up really quick, but. The instant that Great Britain got, you know, did away with guns, knife, like murder by knife, tripled like the next year.
Well,
people were just
course.
Like, yeah, I'm just going to stab you the freaking knife. I don't care how, you know, it's like, oh, I can't use a gun anymore. Fine. I'll use a machete, you know. So look at overall, this is my whole problem. It's like, well, you can go ahead and stab me, but don't you dare shoot me with that fucking gun. Like, dude, it doesn't matter how you die, man. Here's the issue. This is why they say guns don't kill people, people kill people, is because murderers will find a way. Why don't we try to help kids? Why don't we try to be more, you know, more compassionate and loving and try to make sure that these people don't get created?
So there's two things I get out of what you just said, and this is kind of what I was leading to. The number of knife or other weapon attacks goes up when the guns go away. And the counter to that would be, okay, well, maybe you're going to have less deaths because more people will survive a stabbing than a shooting.
Sure.
So, okay. So there's a step in the right direction that way. However, Britain is literally the United States is five times more populated than Britain is.
Right.
So you're not talking apples to apples.
No,
one.
And you're not talking apples to apples culturally.
You're not talking apples to Glocks or whatever.
Right.
Australia, again, is, I mean, way less than that even, population-wise. So you could say that these arguments are scalable, that it shouldn't matter. But my point is, okay, you take the guns away. Just by removing the guns, you're going to have less gun-related deaths, of course.
Right.
But my argument, and you kind of said it for me, is... You're not dealing with the reason. You're not dealing with the source of why these people want to commit these crimes. So, you, of course, then your stabbings go up, or your bombings go up, or your vehicular weapon crimes go up, because you're still not dealing with the source of these problems. And it's back to what you're talking about being able to look at the environment that these people are in that commit these crimes and these situations.
Why are these kids in these urban environments becoming gangbangers? and killing themselves like crazy. We have a problem in our culture. There's a argument to be made about how absolutely racist this country is, man, because somehow, you know, young black youth, why are they so many young black youth involved in gang violence? We got a problem here. You know, I just don't understand how you just go ahead and take the guns away. Well,
I will say parenting.
Right.
There's not one thing that's an answer, but that is the largest, most glaring problem.
Absolutely right.
In your school shooters, there's your commonality. In your school shooters,
fatherlessness is a big deal. And gangs. Where are all of these young black kids' fathers? They're in jail for weed. That's what I'm saying.
That might be
so,
a little too general.
They're
but
not all in there, but there is.
Or they're in jail for the same thing the kids are, and it's a systemic issue.
There's like millions of people locked away for, like, it's crazy. And the other thing too is that what are you going to do?
I don't think it's as general as you made it sound. I'll say that, but I do agree with you that there are plenty of reasons why fathers aren't around, especially in the minority communities.
Sure, and
not always crime, but
this idea that you've got this population of people who were so downtrodden for so long, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, dude, you know, how awesome are people that get out of this, that grew up in the projects and somehow get out of that and end up making a life for themselves? You know, can you look at yourself and
like
say,
Jay-Z?
Honestly, well, sure, I guess. You know, look, I'm pretty sure Steve Harvey,
Marcy's son,
a bunch of different people like that who ended up being awesome, upstanding people.
Yeah.
If I grew up in the projects, would it?
I think back to your argument of people are going to be born with genetically predisposed issues, blah blah blah. I think those people that overcome those situations have the type of wiring, and again, the environment will nurture or deter from that, but they are predisposed to having the wiring to overcome things anyway.
Sure.
No matter whether they're in the projects or they're born to a white doctor in, you know, Ohio.
Yep.
I don't know why I came with that, but I think there's just a type of personality or type of wiring that leads to overcoming challenge.
Sure. And maybe that's an epigenetic effect. Maybe that wiring was switched on.
The word of the day, folks.
Epigenetic. Look it up. Maybe that, so epi means on top of, so it means on top of your genes. So it's all of the epigenetics are the switches that turn certain genes on and off. Okay. Right. And so your environment does that. And the people in your life do that. So maybe what got those guys out of the projects and got them to be successful, well, it could have been this minuscule little tiny freaking thing, Jake. It could have been one guy, one coach at their youth basketball league who just took them aside and said, dude, you're going to get the hell out of here.
Oh, you're a sharp kid. I get that.
I love you. You're a good dude. You know, you just don't know what flipped that switch is my point. It's so hard to know. It's impossible to know. So the only thing that we can do, I think, the most meaningful thing is to just say, yeah, okay. Dude, I'm a libertarian here. And I say, do whatever you want to do with the fucking guns. I don't care. I really don't. Make whatever law you want. I'm not going to vote. I don't freaking vote. So you guys do your thing. I'm going to be over here signing up at the Boys and Girls Club. I'm going to be over here coming alongside kids and helping them out. And tell them they're not a piece of shit, and despite what their environment is, that they can achieve things, that they're not stupid, that all that shame, that the people in their lives are shitty, that they're not shitty. That's what I'm going to do. You guys go ahead and fuck with the stupid guns.
I'm with it.
You know what I mean?
I'm with it. No, I think that's a good place to leave it, honestly. I mean, it's such an emotionally charged issue. You've got to remove the emotion from it, but...
Yeah, look at the numbers.
Here's the last thing I'll say as far as the metaphor, because I like to talk in metaphors. To me, it's like trudging through knee-deep mud in like rubber boots, this whole conversation. It's like trudging through the most arduous terrain, or whatever you want to call it, and arguing that if you had a different pair of boots, it would be a different journey.
Right.
And to me, it's like, no, you have to get out of the mire and out of the mud and stand back on the firm ground and look at the mud and go, okay, how do we go around that?
Yeah.
That is where I think this conversation gets solved. And I think standing in the mud and arguing about the boots or the bump stocks or the size of the magazines isn't gonna do it. So I guess we can leave it there. The coffee pot just let us know it was turning off. So time to roll. All right, folks. Aaron wasn't here, so how'd we do without him? And as usual, you know, if you listen to this and you want to send us some hate mail or some love or whatever, ypodshow@gmail.com is where you can find us. ypod.show, tell your friends. We're gaining a little steam here with the listens on the show. So good. Some of you guys are passing around. Some of you guys might just be finding it randomly on your way to work. And
thank you to all of our friends and relatives who are listening.
We'd love to hear what you think. So we'll leave it at that, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.